Hi, HR Nation, it's Chris Rainey. Welcome to HR Leaders, the show where we interview today's most successful and innovative HR practitioners 5 days a week. Today, we have a very special show for you guys. We have two guests, so I feel quite lucky today. We're joined by Caroline Rock, a Compensation Benefits Manager for Southern Europe at Discovery, and Faustine Jerome, who's the Product Manager over at Benify. How are you both?
Good, thanks.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for joining me. Before we jump in, let's start with yourself, Caroline. Tell us, our listeners, a little bit about yourself personally and your journey to where we are today.
So I've been in compensation and benefits for about, 13 years now, which wasn't always necessarily what I thought I was going to be doing. I was aiming at being a doctor, actually.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, life happened. And I discovered HR through one of my internships and just fell in love with the function. So I kept pursuing that. And before I joined Discovery and Eurosport, I was actually doing consulting in compensation for 8 years. And I was missing, that whole relationship with the employees and feeling close to a company culture and really, serving people on the long run and not be in and out of projects. So that's when I decided to, switch sides and moving on to a company. And I got recruited by Eurosport, who had just been bought by Discovery. So it was a fantastic journey to hop on, turning everything upside down at Eurosport and just, making a new comp and ben philosophy. So that's
amazing. I love asking that question. Who would have thought, doctor was the plan and now where you are, it's the same for everyone, to be honest. It's very rarely you, as growing up, I'm going to be in compensation and benefits.
Yeah, you rarely hear that, right?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that, unfortunately. Hopefully we can change that. Christine, what about yourself? Tell us a bit about yourself, your own journey and sort of way to where you are now at Benify.
Yes, I wanted to be a doctor also, but...
Oh, really? No way! Well, I'm gonna pretend I wanted to be a doctor, so we can play all of it.
So I'm a product manager at Benify France. I joined the company 1 year ago, mainly as a project manager. So I was in charge of the Eurosport launch. And now I'm still in charge of the new updates, new features on the portal.
Amazing. How did the relationship with Benify happen for you personally? Obviously going from wanting to be a doctor to where you are now on the client side. How did that happen?
Yeah, I had a marketing and communication background in the university, and Benify is my first job.
So oh, amazing. What a great company. It's the first job as well.
Yeah, really. A really good culture and values. So I'm really glad to be here.
What I love about Benify as well, I was speaking to, clients and also your colleagues as well, and you have a really good relationship with your clients. It's not just, transactional. Even in the, if you don't mind me saying, guys, in the call we had before this podcast for everyone listening, I love the fact that Caroline, obviously congratulations also on your new baby as well for everyone listening. And I love the fact that you were like, oh guys, I'll send you over some photos. And that's really sort of made me think what an incredible relationship that you have with Faustine and the team, that you're sharing, those really intimate, parts of your life. It just shows you, I can already tell just from that one comment, you have a really strong bond and relationship with the team. And that's not something that I see every day. So jumping into the show today, we're going to be talking about the partnership, obviously, Discovery, Eurosport. What is one of the, they purchased the business not a few years back, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. Eurosport used to be held by a French TV company called TF1, and Discovery bought them off in 2014, to be exact. So now it's part of the group, of the Discovery group.
In terms of the relationship between Benify, Eurosport, what was the challenge that Eurosport was facing? And then how did Benify come into the picture?
It all started basically with our HR director for Eurosport, who wanted us to really get more modern and more digitalized. Eurosport is a very classic French company in a lot of ways and has a huge amount of assets. But, the way we did HR, because it used to be a small company that grew, we stayed kind of in an old ways of doing things and not necessarily a lot of processes. And the whole idea, the whole roadmap back then was to just get more modern and more digital. So in compensation and benefits, one issue that we were facing was the small recognition of our employees of our benefits package. We are actually granting over 33 different benefits to our employees sitting in France. And we knew that they didn't perceive like what we thought at least was half of it. So in one of the HR tech shows that happened in Paris, I was with my HRIS colleague and she said, "Ooh, I've seen that solution. You have to see this." And she dragged me onto the Benify corner and I saw what solution they were offering for benefits communication. And it just clicked as being a way to be digital and modern and really enhance our communication on benefits. And one of the first things that we did with Benify was actually to have an employee survey to see if our feeling was correct concerning the perception of the benefits. And indeed, like from the survey we got back, it turned out that people thought that they had about 10 different benefits. So it wasn't even half of what we offered. It was like one third of what we offered. So we knew then that we were on the right track and that that was something that we wanted to pursue.
So what did you have in place before? Beforehand, and how was it current? How was it being communicated? Or how could, if I was an employee, how would I have accessed it beforehand, before Benify?
That was the very tricky part because we had a lot of things, but we didn't have any central information. So it was all bits and pieces. So whenever someone would come on board, obviously, you know, they'd have like an HR welcoming interview where we'd hand out some, you know, some documents, potentially some little leaflets that we had prepared on some, you know, of the trickiest subjects. But overall, like while you were living your life at Eurosport, it was just all over the place. So we realized that, you know, the emails that we did in terms of communication and we even used to put posters up, which is definitely something that's just not happening anymore.
It seems crazy right now when you think about that, like where that used to work at one point in time, that was the way.
Yeah, it was. And I can still see myself like 4 years ago actually putting posters up, you know, in the elevators with tape and stuff. So,
oh, God.
I mean, yeah, it was kind of old fashioned way. But I guess it did work for a while. It's just that at some point it just didn't anymore. So we had to do something about it.
Most companies are obviously going through a similar digital transformation right now in all areas of HR. The benefits is just one of the areas that's going through. In your mind, if you didn't do this, what would the impact be on the organization?
Well, you know, it's all about employee well-being. That's a priority for us, whether it's CompenBen or HR more broadly. I mean, the Discovery Group really has a strong wish to provide employee wellness. And we believe that at Eurosport, we were doing so much and people knew so little. So in terms of retention, in terms of attractivity, in terms of, you know, employee brand, we were missing out so much. And we did the hardest part. Like we had everything implemented. We were spending the budgets. We were, you know, we were doing everything. So we were just missing that little extra mile just to make it, you know, knowledgeable and a positive message. And obviously, I mean, we're in the media business. It's a business that's changing so much. You talked about digital before.
Yeah.
It's hitting us really hard. And it's not always easy to be in the media business these days.
No, it's probably the most disrupted industry out of everyone.
Yeah, the pressure to be changing for the people, for the organization itself, it is really strong. And I feel like it's really important to have that duality between, you know, what we're asking the employees in terms of sacrifices and flexibility, which is something that's not necessarily natural for them. And on the other hand, you know, showing them that, you know, we're in there with them, that we are caring about their well-being and that being proficient at work is not the only thing that we ask. Like we're actually offering something as an employer. So yeah, this is why it was really important for us.
Yeah. And it must be very frustrating for you and the team, your team, to do so much work and to have it all in place, but no one knows about it.
Yeah. It's also a very French thing to complain. Like French people tend to complain. Like, you know, that's just who we are. But yeah, sometimes it's a little bit too much. And yeah, when you have people coming up to you and saying, "Oh, you know, this is not okay," or "this is not enough," or, you know, "I've heard about this and that company and they do this and that." And you're like, you don't even realize how much, you know, your current company is doing for you. And yeah, it did get, you know, frustrating.
Yeah. How does it make you feel now then, now that you know that it's at the fingertips of the organization, it's having an impact? How does that make you feel as a leader then?
It's so rewarding because, you know, when we implemented the Benify platform, people came up to us afterwards and congratulated us, like on the platform itself and on everything that was in it, like the content. They were like, oh, we never realized that, you know, we could benefit from that, or, oh, we never realized this. And so it was so rewarding to finally see, you know, all of our work being acknowledged and appreciated, because, you know, acknowledgement is not everything. People mm-hmm. do appreciate working for Eurosport Discovery now. And it's, yeah, it's heartwarming for comp and bend specialists, I think. One of the benefits that we have is extra support whenever someone is sick with cancer. So basically it's, you know, providing housekeeping hours and child support if, you know, you can't move because you're just out of chemo. And so, you know, someone will come and pick your kids up for you and then bring them back to home. So, I mean, those are like, we're dealing with people's private lives, and it's just not only in the workplace. And now it's great to know that, you know, people who don't feel comfortable coming up to us and telling us about their private life have that information available. So if they are being, you know, self-conscious about sharing, at least we know that they have a way of finding support. Yeah, just out there.
And people underestimate the impact that that has, right? And those employees will be forever grateful for that, and they deserve it. As you said, the hard work that they do for the organization, that's like the very least we can do to support our employees through those times, but they will remember that. One of the common things I hear from our members and our listeners is that they want to put together in place similar platforms to Benify, but there's so many out there and they're almost overwhelmed with options. When you came across Benify, I'm sure you assessed some other platforms. What was it about Benify that made it the right choice for you versus some of the other competitors out there?
Mainly it was two things. The first one was platform itself and the flexibility that it offered. Like, I knew it was going to fit my needs. Like, it wasn't a one size fits all. It was more of an ad hoc platform. So I knew that it could support all of our various benefits, all of the various developments that we wanted to have, you know, over the course of time. The other one, and probably for me, but that again, that's the professional that I am, the human relationship that I got, like the first contact that we got with that company, very knowledgeable team, very technical, very, you know, focused on expertise, but also really into, you know, sharing why we want to do things, how we wanted to do them. And I mean, it's been a working partnership, truly, more than just, you know, third-party provider like I might have some for other subjects. So I really think the team at Benify France really made a difference. And I mean, down the line, we're almost 1 year after launch, and I absolutely have no regrets to choosing them and working with them.
Well, it's a testament to the team, and so congratulations to you, Faustine, and the team as well. When you're working with a client like Caroline, what are the first steps that you take in to make sure that you can obviously make sure it's a smooth implementation and also to manage expectations?
So for Eurosport, we had like a pre-study, so we were able to know exactly the situation, how many benefits, how the portal will look like and what it will contain. So it was easier for us because since the beginning, we had a really clear scope. So it's always like a good way, I think, to work. And we defined then different phases. So for the first one, we had like the 30 benefits in it, also some information about the holidays, the compensation. And I think it's really important every time to have like a first phase, but not too much things in it. So you can have like a wow effect when you launch it, and then you can keep updating the portal. Because I think it's really important to have like every time new update, so people just going back on the portal. So that's really important. So we had this meeting defining everything in the portal, and then we define also a communication plan with Eurosport. So we had some teasers, then we had some flyers, and they also plan like a contest for employees. So it was really good because we had a good login rate since the beginning, I think thanks to that also. And I think what works very well is that both teams were really flexible and dynamic and also really proactive. So we were able to know exactly what risk will be like.
This episode of the HR Leaders Podcast was brought to you by our friends at Achievers. 2/3 of employees have 1 foot out the door in 2024. And the top reason to job hunt? Better compensation. But money isn't everything. The Achievers 2024 Engagement and Retention Report reveals that employees crave emotional salary too. What does emotional salary mean? And what are the ways to increase emotional salary to engage and retain top talent? Learn more about motivating your employees beyond just pay by visiting achievers.com/HR leaders. Again, that's achievers.com/HR leaders. Let's get back to the episode.
So we'll arrive. Mm-hmm. And then also, I think that we were also really available to each other. So when we had any question we were able to ask, we had quick answers. And I think that's one of the best thing when we implement a new project with clients. So I think it was really like a good and smooth implementation with Eurosport.
You are right. Those are the two things that are key. One is the communication between both you guys, but also communication between yourselves and the employees. The actual implementation part is the easy part. It's the execution and the communication of it to make people actually use it and adopt it, which is the hard part, right? So it's all well and good getting the solution in place, but now it's actually getting people to use the platform. So it's great. You mentioned, for example, the contest that you put together. What was that? What was that about? How did that work?
Basically, we just didn't want things to go unnoticed. So we wanted to do like a real launch. And the person that I'm working with in Compton Bennett Eurosport, we had actually a lot of fun trying to imagine that communication campaign. And God knows, you know, CNBs are not known for their communication skills usually. But yeah, we had a lot of fun. So we thought it might be interesting to just do a little bit of a contest. So you had a multiple choice questionnaire. Basically, you were supposed to be finding the answers if you were navigating the platform. Out of the three answers, two were completely ridiculous and only one made sense. It was kind of like funny oriented. So we tried to do it that way. And so people submitted their answers and we picked out 40 winners and they won a little Bluetooth speaker that we had engraved with the platform logo, because we gave the platform a name. So for Eurosport, it's called EPAC, and so we have a little logo designed.
Nice! Yes, it has its own brand.
Yes, it does.
That's
it
a tip for everyone listening, guys. Build a brand around the solution. That's a very good idea, by the way, because most people don't do that, and it just becomes another thing, another pro system that they have to log into. Where you built a brand around it, that's great.
Yeah.
Do you have any numbers in terms of like the survey you did or the contest of how many people logged in?
The login rate, like I looked at the curve, it was really encouraging. I think, Faustine, correct me if I'm wrong, but now I think we're like 85%.
Wow.
And we've been at that for like 6 months now. So yeah, even in
people are using it then, yeah.
Yeah, wow. People do use it. And we aimed a lot on the launch to have the people log on, and that actually worked quite well. But now what we're doing is every time that we have a CNB-related campaign, we do it through the platform. So, for example, back in November, the way we pay people, we pay on 13th installment, and what we call the 13th month is paid out on the December payroll. But people can choose to dedicate that 13th pay to buying extra vacation days on their time savings account. So usually we used to do that through email and people would fill out a form.
Manually, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
That must have been crazy.
It was. But, you know, we didn't have any system to support us. So
sure.
What we did is actually, you know, do the process through the platform. Which is much easier to handle because everything's digitalized and the output is just like this really neat Excel file, and it's much easier for payroll to process. But also it makes people go on to EPAC. This is something that we've kept, you know, going over the past few months, is every time we need to do a campaign, we just do it through the platform so that, you know, people who might not have necessarily logged on before, they find it that way. They have to go on it that way. Every communications that we do now is through the platform. You know, lately in France, we've had some tax withholding news in January. So we did a special, you know, special focus on that, and it was available on the platform. So we keep finding new ways to attract people to log on to EPAC, and that way we try to capture those that we have missed at the launch.
When did this start, and how long has it been since the rollout?
We launched on June 26, 2018, so it's going to be a year. We're going to hit the first year mark. Feedbacks are really positive. People say that it looks amazing. Everything is on there, makes things so much easier. We've also developed some single sign-on so that, you know, people can just, you know, log on to the platform from our network and then be relayed to third-party providers without necessarily re-logging every time. So that's been a tremendous success with the people. So yeah, really, really positive yeah. feedback.
Well, that's a very important point you mentioned, because the user experience is everything, and making sure people come back, the fact they can log into one location and they may need to be redirected to those other sites, but at least there's one single sign-on that they can go in and access. And I think definitely the new generation of workers coming into the workplace, they expect that as well. You know, for the younger generation, that's how things should be. They expect it to be that simple.
And there's really no reason why it shouldn't. I mean, when you look at, like, as individuals, every application that we have, whether it's, you know, banking or, you know, everything is so user-friendly, so accessible. And then you come into the workplace and it's decades old.
Yeah.
And like a solution like Benify, it's really reconciling what we have out there as individuals and what we should be having in the workplace. I mean, there's really no reason why you can't, like, you can do a bank transfer on your phone while riding the subway. Why couldn't you check, you know, whatever health coverage you have if you need to go to the dentist on the phone on the subway? So
yeah,
that makes it possible, and that means, yeah, that's a good thing.
For yourself, what are some of the common questions that you get asked by organizations when they first start working with you? I'm sure there's some common questions that come up straight away for everyone.
Yeah, it's like, how long does it take to implement?
That's the number one question.
And also, we need to talk about resources, because it's really important to have available team if we want to get in track and to launch the portal on the right time. So they're asking a lot about, like, how long does it take, but also what's the workload of this kind of project, and also what are the stakeholders that will be involved, because it's really important, because we often have, like, the payroll department, IT team. So we really need to have, like, a clear scope and know exactly who will be in charge of everything and who will be responsible for approving all stuff also.
That's what normally slows things down. A lot of times it's not even the actual, you know, benefits team, it's the other stakeholders
exactly
that are in the process, who are not necessarily going to be using the platform on a day-to-day basis, but they're, you know, as you mentioned, the IT and payroll, you know, it's probably not a priority for them, but they have to be involved in the process as well. How did you manage that internally, Caroline, in terms of getting all the stakeholders aligned and making sure that, it sounded like from what Faustin, you already had a great plan when you first met, which not many people I'm sure have, right, Faustin, when they come. But how did you make sure that you had all those stakeholders aligned, the sort of technical side, the IT, the payroll, so you could have it a smooth transition?
I basically harassed everyone until they gave me an answer back. Another thing is, we had a very short timeline to work with, because we wanted to launch before summer break.
So we wanted to launch in June. Perfect deadline for everyone goes away.
Exactly. And we started effectively working. We started in January. So it was a very short timeline. So, you know, we knew with my team, and I mean, my team is just like me and someone else, obviously, but so we knew that this would be our priority for a few months. And once we have identified the people, I think the main thing was to actually sell them the project, so they felt like it was really a very cool thing to be implementing, so that they would be on board. And so they would be potentially not as dedicated as we were, but at least a little bit dedicated to it.
They have to be bought in, you know, in some respect. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, if they see the advantage of it, they will, you know, be more, you know, favorable in working with you. So that was the first thing. And we felt really passionate about the project, so it was really easy to communicate that passion around. And other than that, I mean, on the more technical aspects, I mean, Discovery is a huge group. So obviously we had some, you know, digital security issues that we had to clear. And but everyone has proven pretty available, which was really nice. But yeah, I stayed on top of it. Like I couldn't allow myself just to let things slide and wait for people to answer. So yeah, it came down to basic harassment, just, you know, mailing everyone.
Go back, come on.
Oh, have you had a chance to take a look at this, please? And, you know, always being nice. But yeah, I chased a lot of people.
Yeah. How flexible were Benify when it came to some of those technical requests that you were making?
So flexible. Like they, you know, it's a two-way thing. So obviously Benify had some requirements that we as a group had to, you know, answer in terms of IT and security and everything. But the other way around, Discovery had a lot of expectations to validate Benify as a safe provider. And, you know, whenever I would transfer like a document to be filled out or some need of information, the Benify team was always very responsive. So it was really a two-way thing of not letting things just, you know, delay. And everyone was really responsive in a very short period of time. So it allowed us on both sides, I think, to keep the ball rolling constantly so that we could, you know, check all of those boxes and keep on moving forward.
Yeah, because again, those are the things that ruin those deadlines, right, Faustine? Right. The small things that you don't expect or you don't discuss in the initial thing that end up taking days and weeks. And then you're like, well, we're just waiting on this one thing that needs to happen. And exactly. It becomes quite frustrating for everyone involved. Before we wrap up, I want to ask you both, what advice would you, I'll start with yourself, Faustine. What advice would you give to compensation and benefits leaders when looking for a platform of what type of questions they should ask and how they should prepare themselves to work with a company like Benify?
So I think first, what's really important is to have like a clear scope and to know exactly what's going on in your company. So is it like a benefit awareness? Is it like communication? All these kind of questions should be asked. So the idea is to have really a clear scope since the beginning so we know exactly where we are going. Then I think it's really important to talk about like a communication plan because that's how you make people go on the platform. And then I will say that to have like a first phase, not too big. So you can just focus on things to launch the portal and then keep updating the portal because it's not like a one-time project. It should be updated from time to time to make people go and come back on the platform. So that's the 3 points, I think. That's really important.
Fantastic. And from a practitioner perspective, looking back, Caroline, anything you would have done differently and sort of what advice would you give to your peers that are looking to implement a platform? Some do's, some don'ts, some questions perhaps they should ask.
First of all, ask yourself what you want to do and why you want to do it, because that will condition a lot of different things, specifically if you're a global company, because, you know, benefits is not the same issue in various countries. It's really different in the way you address things. So just figure out what do you want to do and why do you want to do it? And that will give you your main guidelines through the whole project. And after that, it's pick someone that you're comfortable with, that you feel will get you and your company culture and will actually be able to reflect that into the solution that you're going to be implementing. And the third thing, for me, something that was really important was to have a partner who would tailor their offer to us and not the other way around, because we wanted to have something very flexible, very personalized to our company. It was really important to pick a provider that was able to do that for us and not, you know, a one size fits all approach, which can work in some cases, obviously. But it wasn't our objective. So just think about who you're like the market leader might or might not be a good solution for you, depending on what you're aiming at doing.
Well, fantastic, both of you. But it was great that you both could summarize it in 3 points. So that worked out very well. And that was unplanned. So that worked out very well. And to your point, Caroline, I think leaders or companies now and leaders in your position are expecting that type of service now. It's no longer the off-the-shelf solution is no longer, what people want. And I'm hearing this all the time now, Chris, we're not looking for off the shelf. We want people to work with us, you know, not for us. You know, I just don't want to, here's a solution, see you later. And that's normally seems to be the case. And I think more and more now, the companies that are winning and companies that are doing great like Benify are offering that solution that they can work with you and be flexible as well, because not every company has the same requirements or the same systems or the same processes. So it's the only way to work in my mind in this day and age. Last question, you know, for yourself, what's the main reason you would recommend Benify?
Great company, very conscious of people. And I mean, they are dealing with benefits, so they are dealing with people. I only know the France team, but amazing team, really, on all aspects of any working relationship that you might want to find. And technically, it's a very powerful tool. Like, I have not heard them tell me, no, we can't do that yet. And I've asked for a lot of things. So yeah, that would be my go-to for them. Just, yeah, amazing. Fantastic company.
Faustine, you're going to have that now on a LinkedIn, just that clip, just playing over and over again, just sending it out to everyone. Well, look, guys, I really appreciate you joining us on the show today. I wanted to do more of this for everyone listening. I want to do more of these episodes for you guys too, because there's so many solutions out there, but at the end of the day, they also want to hear a practitioner perspective, which is why I really appreciate you coming on, Caroline, to share your journey and your experience going through this process. Because, you know, next time one of our leaders perhaps wants to implement a solution, they have a video like this and they have a podcast they can listen to with someone like yourself who's gone through the process, and they can hear Faustine's experience as well as the project lead on it as well. And it's very important, because sometimes going on a website, looking at some features and benefits of a solution and looking at a package doesn't really tell you the full story, right? You don't really get to see the team behind it, you know, the type of culture that exists in their organization and really what that means as well. So all of these things are very, very important. So I appreciate you guys sharing your journey and your experience with us on the show today. So thanks so much for that. For everyone listening, guys, as always, if you head over to hrdleaders.com, you'll find the show notes from this episode. Links to everything we've been talking about will be there. Faustine, for everyone listening, what's the best way for them to reach out if they want to learn more about Benify?
You can go on the website, so benify.fr, and also on the LinkedIn page. We have like a global one, but also to our personal account.
Yeah, perfect. Well, you're probably going to get a lot of messages now on LinkedIn. So don't blame me. And also yourself, Caroline. Caroline, if our listeners want to reach out to yourself personally, if they have any questions, what would be the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Well, they can go on my LinkedIn page, so Caroline Rock. But they can also drop me an email at my corporate address. So caroline_rock@discovery.com. Fantastic. I'll be happy to answer questions.
I appreciate it. Well, look, thanks again, guys, for joining us. And I wish you all the best until we next week. And congratulations again on the baby as well. So I've only got one, so I don't know how you're going to manage with three, but I wish, so I wish you all the best.
We'll just see how it goes.
All right. See you later, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.